Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lindsay W., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Houston, Texas. Today is Thursday, May 22nd, 2025, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter Working with Others on page 99, the first paragraph. After they have seen tangible results, through one paragraph ending, lest we pay the penalty by a spree. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, we have Kelsey C., 12 Traditions, Christine G., and then our readers of the text are Lynn S. and Elena C., and Hoodie R. is our backup this morning. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, May 21st, are as follows. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,451. So that's 22,451. And then the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,452. 22,452. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. A Vision for You Big Book study. Our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Kelsey C. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. I'm Kelsey C., a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Thank you for letting me be of service. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitting it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Kelsey C. And I will now ask Christine G. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. Number 1, the 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Christine G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So this morning, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter Working with Others on page 99, the first paragraph. After they have seen tangible results through one paragraph ending, lest we pay the penalty by a spree. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. So I will now ask Lynn S. to please begin reading. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Lindsay. Good morning, Vision. This is Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. After they have seen tangible results, the family will perhaps want to go along. These things will come to pass naturally and in good time, provided, however, the alcoholic continues to demonstrate that he can be sober, considerate, and helpful, regardless of what anyone says or does. Of course, we all fall much below this standard many times, but we must try to repair the damage immediately, lest we pay the penalty by a spree. You know, and I was just thinking back of when I first came into program, and I didn't tell many people I was in program at first, because this would have been, you know, trial number 7,010 that Lynn ventures out on that flops after a while. And my parents started to notice the weight loss, but, you know, I, for the last 20 years, I've been losing and gaining 140 pounds anyway, so nothing new there. But what was new, and what I really, really wanted them to see, was the change in my demeanor, the change in how I responded to things, the change in how I was. And that took a long time, because it did take me a long time to change, you know. And I swear, you know, my parents still watching the weight loss. Okay, it's 2 years now. Let's see what happens. But I did start treating them differently, because I could see differently now. I could see differently now. And it took them a while to respond to the changes in the way I reacted to them because they didn't trust it. I mean, they'd seen me change 100 million times before. But these changes stuck, a lot of them. It took a long time. It took a long time for my parents to trust what was happening in me. It took me a long time to trust what was happening to me. But over time, I began to demonstrate that I could be sober, considerate, and helpful, regardless of what anyone said or did. I remember an incident with my mom. It was particularly difficult for her, and she actually broke down crying because everything that she did everything she used to do that would provoke a certain reaction in me, and it didn't. And it confused her and upset her terribly. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. But gradually over time, they began to trust this new person that I was becoming. And what I love about these lines is they apply exactly to today too, that I need to or can demonstrate that I can be sober, considerate, and helpful regardless of what anyone says or does. And do I fall? Absolutely. Absolutely. But that ability to try and repair the damage immediately, lest we pay the penalty by a spree. I think the biggest repair that I did for my family was to be able to respect my mom and dad, treat them with respect, and to actually love them, which I'd never been able to do before recovery. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lynn S. from Toronto, for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning?
Ellie S.
Janet B.
Lynn B.
Lori Good.
Name.
All right, let me tell you who I heard. Kelly S., Janet B., Lynn B., I believe I heard a Lori. I think I missed somebody in there. Who else would like to share on this first lineup?
Jessica R.
Gotcha. Jessica. Anybody else? Okay, well, we'll get started with this. So we've got Kelly S., Janet B., Lynn B., Lori, and Jessica R. So we will get started with Kelly. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lindsay. Hey, guys, it's Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I haven't shared for a while, but I couldn't be quiet with these paragraphs because I just think of recovery. I've been given so much in this meeting that I feel like I need to share that. The last couple of paragraphs, I was just thinking, I've been married to my wife now for over 25 years, and yesterday somebody shared they never had knockdown dragouts with their spouse, but I didn't necessarily have, but we, you know, 27 years ago, we had quite a volatile, very dysfunctional, crazy love addiction relationship, and all the odds were against us, all of them, except for God and this relation, this way of life and this program, right? And I've been in these rooms for decades, as you guys know, but it wasn't until 2013 I came to Vision for You and was reintroduced to the big book and the instructions in the book, and finally realized that, you know what, guys, in case you're new, in case you've been relapsing and didn't know, this is not about not compulsively overeating. This is not about, you know, changing our food behaviors. This is about living life different and better. I do have to put down the food to do this. This is about a way of life, right? And so, you know, it was about the change and doing and things different. I don't know about you guys, but I always would have said, my spouse never makes amends. I'm always making amends. Why do I always have to make amends? And my sponsor was like, you're the one that has the program. You're the one that wants to change. Yeah, whatever. But you know what? The truth is, that is true today. And I want to tell you guys a miracle my wife makes amends now. Like, I can't believe it. 25 years later, I was sharing with her these paragraphs. We're talking about, you know, I read my meditations with her together. We pray together. You know, she makes amends. I'm always like, wait, what? She's making amends? I'm telling you guys, you know, there's no better thing, no better way of being of service to somebody than to help them have a better life, whether it's sponsoring. I mean, the part we're in right now is the third part of step 12, carrying these principles in all our affairs. How am I showing up in my occupations, you know, my home life, my work, all of those things? Not just being absent, and I still be the guy in the cellar coming out almost all the time. I had to make amends to my daughter yesterday for an unkind remark that I do this all the time. Wait, what? What'd I say? I didn't do that. Oh, and then I pray about it, and I see, and I think, oh, my gosh, it was not kind. It was not helpful. It was not necessary, and I was able to make amends and clean that up because today I truly do want to be a better person, and I'm getting to be that. I'm getting to show that and live that. I do have, it's just all so corny crap. I do live a life beyond my wildest dreams, and gratefully, I am absent today. And it does start with abstinence, but guess what? You get a relationship with power, relationship with God, so that not only we keep the food down, we can show up with life and be different for our family, our friends, our coworkers, and everybody around us. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you, Kelly S. in Oklahoma. And then next up is Janet B., followed by Lynn B. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Lindsay. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So look what it says. We can be sober, considerate, and helpful no matter what. Well, that surely wasn't me in my years in Overeaters Anonymous. I would go into meetings and say, I binged this week because ... And there was always a reason how people treated me. I remember one day I was going to go to the park and it rained. And so, you know, that's like everything was an excuse. And sometimes, yeah, things are hard. But this tells me I can be sober, meaning abstinent, considerate, and helpful no matter what. Well, how do I do that? First, it tells me I have to be abstinent no matter what. But I have to go beyond that. I have to be, like, nice to everyone and considerate. And then I have to go beyond that and be helpful. Well, how can I do that? How can I even start with being sober, being abstinent, let alone the other stuff? And the only answer for me was God. The only answer was to just say, God, my life is a train wreck. I can't do anything about it. Take it all and do whatever you want with me and whatever you want with my life. And then and only then did I get the power to put down the food, the power to be abstinent, and then the power to start thinking about other people, right? That's one of our third step promises, that, you know, we stop focusing so much on ourselves and we become interested in other people. And then it tells me I have to be this way because if I'm not considerate and helpful to the people around me, I'm going to pay the penalty by a spree, by a binge. You know, so many times people say, well, if someone goes into relapse, it's always because they have a step one problem. And I don't agree with that. I see, like, throughout this big book, it tells me things that will cause me to relapse. Like, here it says, I'll pay the penalty with a spree if I'm not, what does it say, if I'm not sober, considerate, and helpful. So if I'm not being helpful to those around me, I'm going to binge. So the solution isn't to go back to step one. The solution is to start looking at the others around me and start being helpful. It's like at the end of chapter five, it says, if we fall down on our sex ideal and we're not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to drink or binge. So the absolute worst thing that someone can do to a sponsee who's falling down on their sex ideal is to say, go back to step one, start over with a new sponsor. The solution, stop falling down on your sex ideal. And the third example I can think of is in making amends. It says a lot of us have a fear of creditors, and we have to face them, for we're liable to drink if we don't. So if someone's not making an amend, the absolute worst thing I can do as a sponsor is to say, you need a new voice, go start over with someone else. It's to say, no, go make your amend. This book gives me such beautiful guidelines, and I see it as a promise that if I surrender my life to God's will and try to do what he wants, he will give me the power and strength to be sober, considerate, and helpful regardless of what anyone else says or does. What a great God that is to give me those gifts. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Janet B. in North Carolina. Next up, we have Lynn B., followed by Lori. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, everyone. Recovering compulsive eater, Lynn B. from Maine. Really grateful to be here. This is my first time I've shared here, and I'm so blessed today. You know, I came into Overeaters Anonymous in October of 98. I weighed over 260 pounds, and my life was unmanageable to the point where I was looking for ways to die without obviously committing suicide. I was that desperate. And I came here and I listened and I learned, and I was struck with that gift of abstinence I believe a lot of people get at the very beginning. You know, I turned to my higher power as a little baby and just trusted my daddy would give me what I needed. I was able to release 95 pounds right away. And 14 months, my life was so amazing. You know, but I realized I was the behavior that I had been using, compulsive overeating to correct, was actually my alcoholism. My dad died in a nursing home at 60 years old, and I was turning 40, and I was scared witless. I didn't know what to do. And so I was able to get sober. And by God's grace, I haven't had to use a drink or a substitute for 25 years, but the food was always there. And there always came a reason, quote unquote, for me to pick up that excess food. I still needed to soothe myself. I still needed to put some kind of salve on this deep wound inside of me. So I've tried to, we moved to Northern Maine over 20 years ago. Very, I'd almost use the word desolate. I opened two AA meetings, committed to a half a year each time. And at the end of both of those time commitments, I was the only one going to the meeting, writing in my journal. And so about 2 weeks ago, I was at church, and I went up to say hello to a lady, and I looked, her purse was open. And oh my God, there was a brown and white book inside it. And I looked at her like it was Christmas morning. And I said, oh, my God, is that the OA Brown? Is that the OA 12 and 12? And she looked at me with such surprise on her face and said, yes, it is. And I went to that meeting 2 weeks ago Tuesday, last Tuesday, this Tuesday. I found an OA meeting online. And the very first time I saw this beautiful lady who talks such an incredible program, and I judged her mercilessly. Thank you for letting me share. Today, she's my sponsor. Today, I'm 7 days abstinent by the grace of God, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and the Fellowship of OA. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Lynn B. in Maine. And the next up, we have Lori, followed by Jessica R. Good morning, Lori. And if you'll remind us the first letter of your last name and where you're calling from.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Lori G. I'm in Colorado. And God keeps waking me up at 4 so I can listen to a live meeting. So, yay. The thing I thought of with this paragraph is I started in OA 30 plus years ago. And like someone else shared, I got abstinent right away, and I lost like 50 pounds, and life was wonderful. I had life in between meals and was working with a sponsor. And then we moved from California to Missouri, and then it got a little bit harder. And I stayed abstinent for quite a while. I got a new sponsor when we moved, and but yeah, it was getting a little bit harder. And then we moved again in a year and a half to Colorado, and I kept coming to program, I kept coming to meetings, and kept trying and trying and trying, but I was just on that roller coaster of, I have some recovery, but, well, I don't know if I'd call it recovery. I had some weight loss. I had some success. I tried to sponsor because I was told, do service, that'll, service is slimming. I kept coming to meetings. I kept trying and trying and kept gaining weight and losing weight and gaining weight and all that. And at one point, my husband, he is also one of us. He has said himself, and he wasn't interested. And I'm like, you know, well, I'm going to these programs, or, you know, I'm going to these meetings, and why don't you want to? And he's like, well, frankly, I don't see what I want in you. And that just, that was like a knife in the heart. And I know he didn't mean it that way. He was just being honest. But so about 8 years ago, 8.5 years ago, I started over with a new sponsor and with this meeting and using the big book. And I have had what I feel like is a miraculous, what is it, a new brain, or being rocketed into the fourth dimension, whatever you want to call it. I feel like I've gotten real recovery and had real weight loss. And I haven't asked my husband, like, what do you think now? That's none of my business. But I can tell that things are different. I still need a lot of work. I still struggle with trying to help him because I want him to have this too. I want him to have this.
That's time.
Wow. Thank you. I'll just end with what I need to do now is keep surrendering, keep working and keep coming. And thank you all for your service and for being here and for helping me to recover. So thank you. Bye. Okay.
Thank you, Lori G in Colorado. And then next up is Jessica R., and then we'll take another group of folks to share. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning. My name is Jessica R., and I'm calling from Maryland. I'm just, like, in awe of how things work and the order of sharing, because I feel like the shares that came before me were amazing, especially the lead. I could really relate. I believe it was Lynn who led us off. If I'm wrong, please correct me. But it's just like you do this, and the way people treat you and the drama that you deal with, it just goes away. So I should say that I should qualify. I'm an overeater. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I started 7.5 years ago working the 12 steps through the program of AA, and over the last year and a half I've been working OA. I have a sponsor, and you know, the things that my mother used to bring me into and the behaviors that I would agonize over and need validation from everybody on that, it just has, over seven and a half years has just gone away. She can't do that stuff with me anymore because she doesn't get the reaction that she's looking for. And you know, I have come to a place where I had no respect for my mother. I hated my mother. I would talk terribly about her to anybody who would listen. So now I'm in a place where I love her, and I am every day walking close to accepting her for who she is and appreciating her for what is wonderful about her and not holding on to things that are negative about her. I can confidently say my siblings are seeing a change in last week. My mother lied to me about a procedure she had done, a medical procedure, and I was so angry because she lied to me, and I hate the lying. But I worked it with the sponsor. I quickly did a 10-step. I immediately called my brother the next day, and I was like, I need to apologize for crap-talking mom. because, you know, she's this and she's that and she's wonderful. And I could tell, you know, he just, it put him at ease because he just wants peace and everybody. It's not that he wants everybody to get along. He just doesn't like when the nasty Jessica calls him. I can tell he doesn't. And then also, I just want to give some hope. 9 years ago, my sister got sober through working the 12 steps. The change I saw in her is why I came to the program. And 2 years ago, my brother got sober too. So keep praying. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jessica R. in Maryland. And before we take another lineup, I'll just remind everyone where we are this morning. So we are in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 99, the first paragraph. After they have seen tangible results through that one paragraph ending, lest we pay the penalty by a spree. So we have plenty of time for more shares. Who else would like to share this morning?
Anita L.
Susan and Anita, who else?
Penny C.
Amy G.
C, as in.
Yep, comfort. I got you. Penny and Amy. Yep, Penny C, Amy G.
Nicole S.
Nicole.
Michaela B.
Right, here's who I've got. Susan S.H., I believe it
Lydia
was S.H.
Okay.
Oh, Lydia? Okay, great. All right, so I've got Susan S.H., Anita L., Penny C., Amy G., Nicole S., Michaela B., and Lydia K. So let's start with Susan S.H. You'll be followed by Anita.
Thank you. This is Susan S.H. I'm sorry. I was unmuting and didn't quite hear if you were done. Susan S.H., I'm in Ohio. I'm a real compulsive overeater, recovered for the day, grateful. That word perhaps, it kind of makes this not exactly a promise. Today, I accept that perhaps it's not a promise. It is a possibility. I look to God's time, not mine. I have wanted it, kind of demanded it. But the fact is that I can't rush it. I can't force it. I can't cause it. But I can do what I've heard so often, and it's such good advice. I can recover, recover, recover. I can continue this course of action, working the steps, which are my directions for navigating this life. And as said before, we all sometimes fall short. It's in the paragraph. I appreciate hearing that in the paragraph because higher power knows that I fall short from time to time. The directions are there to point me right back to my higher power. Point me right back to trusting higher power and the process of working the 12 steps. My family may or may not come to my way of relating to things, relating to a higher power. It's not mine to dictate. I can leave it to God. I can put it back in His hands. I must do that because I don't want another spree. Another spree could be the death of me. All these things that are directions in here, when I work them, they work. It's repeated. I'm so blessed to have been brought to this way of life. And I can't say anything, but I'm grateful. My family still ain't jumping on board yet, but it's okay. I know they see a difference in me, and I do see a difference. I do see a difference in them. I don't know if that's what I think is that it's my attitude that has changed a lot. So grateful, and that's all I have to say about it. I pass.
Thanks, Susan S.H. from Ohio. And then we've got Anita L., followed by Penny C. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Anita from outside of Philadelphia. I'm just feeling so much gratitude this morning. And what I was thinking of in the beginning, I've heard it said that the longest distance is between your head and your heart. And I feel that finally, after all these decades, not only has my family seen a change in me, my behavior, my way of living, the fact that I now live in a normal body size, they see as I see that this is me. I am a compulsive overeater. And I have finally conceded to my innermost self this fact that I can't eat as normal eaters eat. I just came back from a vacation across the world. And, you know, there was all kinds of things out there. And I didn't have to take that first bite because I knew, not only in my head, in my heart, that if I would have taken that first bite, it would have destroyed everything. All I would have been focused on would have been the food, and I wouldn't have been able to enjoy life. So putting down the food is just the beginning, and I have finally come to see, thank you, God, it's truly a miracle that I could be teachable after all these decades of coming to this program and listening and being open-minded and relapsing and coming back and seeing and growing, that God is everything. Just like in the Big Book, it says God either is or God isn't. God either is everything or God is nothing. What is my choice to be? And I am so grateful that God is everything. And now my life is beyond my wildest dreams. And if it can work for me and happen and I can change. And at the end of the paragraph, what does it say? We must try to repair the damage immediately, lest we pay the penalty by a spree. So I must do 10 steps, either daily or, you know, I do a 11-step review every night.
Time.
Thank you. Thank you. I can change, and so can you. If it works for me, it can work for all of us. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Vision. I pass.
Thank you, Anita L. in Pennsylvania. And next up is Penny C., followed by Amy G. Go ahead, Penny.
Good morning. Thank you so much for calling on me. I'm Penny C. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area. I've been hearing people share, and suddenly it occurred to me, well, isn't that exactly what happened in my family after they have seen tangible results, the family perhaps go along. So I had a sister who went to God 12 years ago, and she like me, was overweight, and the family disease of compulsive overeating had struck her as well. And so, excuse me. And so, when I first came to OA, Barbara had known nothing about it, like I hadn't, till I was directed by God, only God, into my first meeting, and so she showed a little interest, just a little interest, and I didn't do much about it, and finally, about a couple of years later, I gave her a big book for Christmas with an inscription saying that, you know, read certain pages and you may want this too. And another couple of years went by when she called and said, I went to an OA meeting and I love it and thank you. I just picked up the big book. I put it on the shelf for 2 years. So fast forward about 5 years afterwards, we both volunteered to do a workshop together at a Region 608 convention. And I hadn't talked to her about why did she come in or, you know, what caused her to, after 2 years, to pick up the book and begin to read it. Until she led off at the convention. And I heard her say, I watched my sister, and I watched her losing weight, but that didn't impress me as much as I could see that she was chasing spirituality, and I wanted it as much as she did. And so what she was saying is, it wasn't the weight that really attracted her. It was that I was beginning to find a power greater than myself, a God, as I understood God, as I still understand God, and she wanted that. We grew up in a really strict, really strict
time.
Christian. Okay, thank you. And so it's just what this paragraph is saying. And, you know, it was a wonderful ride we had until she passed away, that we were in this together. And she, like I, was given the gift of abstinence and recovery. And I'll pass.
Thanks, Penny C. in Massachusetts. And then next up is Amy G., followed by Nicole S. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland. Thank you, everyone, for your shares and a great meeting. And like others have said, I think one of the most helpful things I could have done, especially in early recovery, being the youngest of four in my family, was to get sober and to get abstinent, just work my program and be the big book that they never saw. And, you know, they've all bounced in and out of the program, but the most helpful thing I can do is to be sober and abstinent in my behavior and in my actions now. But this whole thing about helpful, there's helpful when I want something in return, like I want you to see I'm being helpful so I can get the accolades and I want something in return. And then there's the helpful that is selfless, and it, because we do what is the right thing to do. And I didn't know the difference, right, before I came to program. And where did I learn how to do that? Is by being in the program and watching, you know, a sponsor give to me selflessly to help me without expectation of return. And then in my sponsorship, to be helpful with them, to learn what it is to truly give and be of service, to be helpful to someone without expectation of return. And guess what? I learned that being helpful without expectation feels good. I like living in my skin when I can be of service to others. I love being helpful when I need to get out of my own skin and get out of my head. Being helpful, being of service, was a miraculous thing to learn. Being considerate to others when they are very difficult in your family, for example. You know, I've watched in these rooms and people in the fellowship, God the skin on, if you will, have shown me how to respond to people that are being inconsiderate and difficult in my family, and being helpful by not responding until I can regulate my own emotions, for example. Sometimes the most helpful thing I can do is to keep my mouth shut until I can regulate my own feelings and figure out what's going on inside of me. So this word of being helpful, this way of being considerate and truly helpful in this program has shown me a way to get along with my siblings, my family, my children, my community, and most of all, stay connected to my God. And I'll tell you, I was driving this morning, and I, you know, my mother passed away last year, and the last couple years with her were really hard. And my sister and I, our entire job was to be of helpful, to be helpful, and to be of service to her. It wasn't fun all the time. We served her, we took her to hospitals, we took her to doctors, we did all of those things. We were truly helpful without expectation of return because it was the thing to do. It was the right thing to do. And sometimes that wasn't easy. And yet I can now live in my own skin to know that I served my mother. And what I wouldn't give to be able to be helpful to her right now, I can tell you that right now. Sorry, a little of that coming up. What I wouldn't give to be able to be helpful to her now. So I have learned in these rooms what true helpfulness and consideration is. And I'm so grateful to God and to those that have gone before and shown me the way how to not only live in my skin, but live in community and love with those around me. And with all that, thank you.
Thank you, Amy G. in Maryland. And the next up is Nicole S., followed by Michaela B. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Nicole S. from Colorado Recovered. And this paragraph helps me to remember that, you know, I need to set the bar a lot higher than just being abstinent, just being sober. Because if I just put the food down and I'm still a dry drunk and I am not going to, you know, it says to continue to demonstrate. And so that means action on my part, and I need to continue down this path and, you know, continue to demonstrate that. And I think, you know, for a while my bar was just set at, you know, abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception. And that's too low for me. And even though it says, you know, if I set my bar to, I want to be considerate and helpful, you know, love and tolerance is my code. If I set that as my bar, you know, it says here that we all fall much below this standard many times. But if I don't have that standard set high for me, then it's just too low. And I'm not going to be able to demonstrate in my relationships, you know, much more than that. So even though abstinence is so important for me, because without it, I'm blocked from God and I can't be of service to anyone. But I need to go much beyond that. And then, you know, like it says, when I fall, and I will, it's not a if, it's a when, you know, I'm going to try and repair the damage immediately. And, you know, I've got a wonderful step, you know, 10 and 11 to clean that up and, you know, pause when agitated or doubtful. And my husband told me one time, after me apologizing for the gazillionth time, he says, you know, quit apologizing, just change. And so I realized, wow, I've got to do a lot more than just saying, you know, throwing out that apology. I've got to demonstrate, you know, that this is going into my whole life. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nicole S. in Colorado. And next up, we have Michaela B., followed by Lydia K. Share with us, please, Michaela.
Hi, good morning. This is Michaela B., recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland. And I say I'm recovered because for today the problem has been removed. And what I'd like to share is relapse is a part of my story. And I used to really fear relapse, and definitely for selfish reasons. I didn't want to get fat again. You know, I used to think, what's the worst thing that would happen if I relapsed? And of course, it was always selfish. You know, I didn't want to get fat. I didn't want to get sick. I always thought the worst thing that could happen, you know, if I relapsed was getting really fat. Or, you know, my mind would always go to worst case scenarios, disease, death, you know, maybe my husband leaving me, or, you know, losing my children, losing relationships, things like that. But now that, you know, I've gone through the 12 steps and I've had a spiritual experience and I've experienced recovery, I know now that the worst thing that could happen if I relapse is that I wouldn't be there to work with the next lady, the next newcomer who's suffering. I wouldn't be there to carry the message. And that is my, my responsibility. I mean, I wouldn't be here today if another recovered lady hadn't taken the time to go through this work with me and to save my life, really. And, you know, so I owe it to the next suffering compulsive overeater, you know, to give of my time to take them through the work. So it's my honor, my privilege to carry the message. The message that I want to carry is, you know, if when you start eating, you find that you can't stop or control what you're eating, you know, you might be a compulsive overeater. And if that's the case, you're probably in the right place. And I encourage you to reach out and find a sponsor, get a big book, go through the 12 steps, because the big book tells us there is a solution. And you don't have to suffer. And there's so many people on this meeting here today that are, you know, living proof that this solution does work. And I'll leave it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michaela B. in Maryland. And then Lydia K., you will be our last share this morning. Please go ahead.
Hi, Lydia K. from Owen Sound, Ontario, Canada. And this has been a really lovely reading. I have just been diving into the big book, and this is the first time I've actually done the steps through the big book. And you know, it's been kind of a wonderful experience. And I was just thinking how grateful I am for my husband, who is actually supportive. Like, I have all this homework to do, and I need to do it because I love denial. And I've been abstinent for 46 days, and my life is, I'm more joyous and free than I've ever been before. And as when it comes to my family, I've been separated from my family for various reasons. Some of them have to do with my own selfishness and fear. And I'm going to be working on that, I'm sure. And I have a nephew who's definitely suffering as a compulsive overeater. And so I started to just reach out to him and say, hey, how's it going? And just listening to him, because I know he knows about OA and he knows about the big book and he knows about the meetings, but I don't think he's ready to listen to that. And his path is none of my business, but I can still reach out and just kind of connect with him and develop some kind of relationship. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lydia Kay. On that note, we do have time for a 2-minute share if anybody would like to hop in.
Anita J.
Anita J., go ahead and take us out.
Okay, thank you. Anita J. from Massachusetts. The word that explains me now is change. The first person that's funny who noticed the change in me was my mother-in-law. She looked at me one day and said, "You've changed." And I really don't know what she was looking at, what she was saying. And it was after that my husband, he was the second one to say, "You've changed." And isn't it something? I think the old Anita would have been upset. Was it? What do you mean change? Don't you know I'm a legend in my own mind? And anyway, the point is, that is what it's all about. It wasn't just the weight. It was just It said I needed a rearrangement, a vast rearrangement. And that's what I love about this book. It's not lying to you. If you do the work, this will all come to pass. And lo and behold, and so with that, I do pass. Is that 2 minutes?
You're good. Thank you so much, Anita J. from Massachusetts, for taking us out this morning. And thank you to everyone who shared and to everyone that gave service on the meeting. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study that will immediately follow our closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, May 22nd, is 22459. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Elena C. please read, A Vision for You, Our Book is Meant to Be Suggestive Only.
I will. Thank you, Elena C. from South Carolina, recovered. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.